For the normal person, alcohol is a depressant. It goes into the bloodstream, goes to the brain, it begins to depress the brain in the brain, and they begin to get a slightly tipsy, out-of-control feeling, and they don't like that feeling. So therefore, one or two drinks is all they want to take. When I put alcohol into my system, it immediately goes to my brain, and I don't get a slightly tipsy, out-of-control feeling. I get a very exciting, in-control feeling whenever I have a couple of drinks. So I react to it abnormally, mentally, to start with. Then the other thing they said is, after we've had a couple of drinks, in addition to getting the slightly tipsy, out-of-control feeling, they said we begin to experience a feeling of nausea. And they said, we don't like that feeling of nausea. Therefore, one or two drinks is all we want to take. My God, how many times have you tried to get them to drink more than one or two? They say, oh, no, I feel this already. Or, no, it's making me dizzy. Or, no, it's making me sick. I don't want it anymore. When it goes into my system, instead of my body experiencing a feeling of nausea, it produces an actual physical craving in my body that demands more of the same. Their body said, puke it up. Mine says, put some more in here. And that craving is so strong that I can't control the amount that I'm going to drink after I've once started. So I react to alcohol abnormally in two ways. First, I react to it abnormally mentally. They get the slightly tipsy, out-of-control feeling. I get a very exciting, in-control feeling. I react to it different physically. They get a feeling of nausea. My body gets and experiences an actual physical craving that demands more of the same. Now, the only difference between normal and abnormal is what the majority of the people do. 9 people out of 10 drink it that way. 1 person out of 10 drinks it the way I drink it. Therefore, we are considered to be allergic, an abnormal reaction to alcohol. You can't see it. You can only feel it. And only alcoholics feel it. You know, the amazing thing today, as I look at those people who are not alcoholic, when they drink, they get all they want to drink every time they drink. 1 or 2 drinks. I drank alcohol 26 years. I don't ever remember getting all I wanted to drink. 1,000 times I've had more than I need to drink, but I never got all I wanted to drink. An abnormal reaction, both mentally and physically. Joe?
Those normal people, they've had 2 or 3 drinks, they want to go to bed. Charlie and I have 2 or 3 drinks, and we want to go to town.
You betcha. I love to watch them on airplanes. I just love to watch normal drinkers drinking on airplanes. You know, they'll order a drink, and they bring them a little bitty bottle. I guess it's got an ounce in it. I don't know.
$4.
I think it's up to $4 today for that little bottle. And they'll get their mixer, whatever it is, and they'll pour that in that mixer. And then they go through a ceremony. They call it the stirring ceremony. And they'll sit there and they'll stir and stir and stir and stir. And I'm sitting there saying, drink the damn stuff. What the hell have you got it for? And so, sometimes we'll be just about ready to land. And the flight attendant will come by and say, do you want the rest of your drink? And I say, no, I've had all I wanted. And give them half of it back. Pay $4 for it and turn around and give half of it back to them.
That's called alcohol abuse, by the way.
We watched one of them one time on an airplane, and he was drinking vodka. And he got his mixer, and he very carefully measured out half of that little bitty bottle and put it in his pocket, put the cap on it, and put it in his pocket. Stirred for about 30 minutes and finally drank it. We started getting off the airplane. I just couldn't stand it any longer. I pushed him in the back, and I said, what are you going to do with that you put in your pocket? He said, oh, I'm going to have me another drink when I get home. Now, that's sick drinking to me.
The book don't tell you something unless they don't elaborate on it a little bit further, sometimes 2 or 3 times, so make sure we get the point. So we don't get it over there on that Roman numeral page 26 or 20, what's the number there? 24. So let's go back to 26, and see, he's going to kind of repeat himself a little bit.
He's going to expand on this allergy idea now on Roman numeral 26.
He said, we believe, and so suggested a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on this chronic alcoholic is a manifestation of an allergy. I was diagnosed as a chronic alcoholic. Hated that word, chronic alcoholic. Still not too happy with it, even though I understand. Chronic simply means doing something over and over and over again. So I was a chronic drinker, a chronic alcoholic. It's a manifestation of an allergy. and that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. He called it a phenomenon because it was a phenomenon to him because he didn't really understand about the allergy to alcohol totally at that time. He said these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it, and once having lost their self-confidence and reliance upon things human, the problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve.
You know, the action of strawberries on one who's allergic to strawberries is manifested as a rash. The action of milk on one who's allergic to milk is manifested as dysentery. The action of ragweeds on one who's allergic to ragweeds is manifested as itchy, watery eyes and sneezing. The action of alcohol on one who's allergic to alcohol is manifested as, he refers to it, the phenomenon of craving. The reason he called it a phenomenon is he didn't understand why, but he had seen it happen to people like us over and over and over and over and over. So the phenomenon of craving is a manifestation of our allergy. Another word you got to look at very carefully is the word craving. I hear a lot of people today say, I came to AA and I craved a drink for 4 years. No, in the context of the big book, no. They needed a drink, they wanted a drink, they desired a drink. But in the context of the big book, the only way an alcoholic can crave alcohol is to first put it in the system. And then the phenomenon of craving develops, and then we pass through the well-known stages of a spree. Now, non-alcoholic people never feel this. You know, they don't understand us any more than we don't understand them. But you and I understand it because we've had that phenomenon of craving develop in our body countless, countless times. Always going to have just two beers tonight. Hell, I used to go to the liquor store and buy a half a pint. And I knew nobody can get drunk on a half a pint. Well, it in an hour or two, and I'm back at the liquor store again, and this time I'm buying a quart. I drank 26 years. I don't ever taken one drink of anything that had alcohol in it. One always led to 2 to 3 to 6 to 8 to 10. Now, some people drank it safely for several years, and then the phenomenon of craving began to develop in their bodies. It was in my body from the word go. You know, I think I was born alcoholic. I didn't just stand there waiting to take a drink. First drink I ever took, I got drunk. Got sick, passed out that night. Okay.
Let's turn to Roman numeral page 28 in the third edition, Roman numeral page 30 in the fourth edition.
And we're going to go just a little bit further with this allergy now.
Yeah, he's talking about these allergic types, and he's going to give us five different types of alcoholics to look at on Roman numeral page 28 or 30 in the fourth edition. He said, the classifications of alcoholics seems most difficult, and in much detail is outside the scope of this book. He said, there are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We're familiar with this type. They're always going on the wagon for keeps. They're over-remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision.
We call that type one.
Yeah. There is a type of man who is unwilling to admit that he cannot take a drink. He plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment.
Type two.
There is a type who always believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can take a drink without danger.
Type three.
There is a manic depressive type, who is perhaps the least understood by his friends about whom a whole chapter could be written.
Type four. Now, I always thought I was the next one, a type five.
If you're going to have to identify one of these alcoholics, that type five is the one to probably identify with. Type four is pretty sick. So they're in types entirely normal in every respect except the alcohol has upon them. They're often able, intelligent, friendly people. Kind of describes Charlie, doesn't it?
I used to read that and I'd think, how in the hell did he know so much about me anyhow? Now he makes his point. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. I think what he said is this. If all we alcoholics in this room tonight should take a drink, God forbid that happen, but if we did, we would not all react just exactly the same. In just a little bit, one of us would be crying in her beer. Ooh, the world not treating me that. In just a little bit, somebody be up on top of one of these tables, hooping and hollering and dancing and cutting up. A little bit, there'd be two of them in a corner getting in a fight, just sure as anything. Look over in this corner, there'll be two over here, one of them putting a make on the other. We tend to do that also when we drink. You know. We would do many different things, but if we're a real alcoholic, there's one thing every one of us would do. We'd start looking for another drink. And then another, and then another, and then another, and then another, until we end up drunk and sick and in all kinds of trouble. Now, it really doesn't make any difference whether we're born with it or whether we drank ourselves into it. Joe drank several years without any trouble. But eventually he crossed that same line, and the phenomenon of craving began to develop, and he began to get drunk and sick and in all kinds of trouble. And from that day on, he never could drink safely again.